My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He's the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. He is also lead counsel in a case challenging the new transgender-friendly non-discrimination policy in Fairfax County, Virginia. That's the largest public school district in the Commonwealth and one of the largest in the entire country. Recently, the Virginia Supreme Court agreed to hear Staver's challenge on behalf of a parent and a student impacted by the policy after a different court had rejected it. And Matt, it's always good to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
What comes next now? When will this case be argued, and how soon could this be resolved, at least in Virginia?
Well, it will be argued probably at the end of the year or early in 2017 with a decision sometime in early 2017. It's a big case, and it's a big decision for the Virginia Supreme Court, to take this case. We filed this case because Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, the school board, added three different categories to the non-discrimination law that is not permitted in Virginia. They added sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. And in Virginia, like in many states, North Carolina being another state like Virginia, the non-discrimination categories have to be uniform across the state. And local bodies, including school boards, cannot add additional categories that are not in the general categories at the statewide level. That's what the Fairfax County did. They violated that clear directive that they cannot add new categories. And when they did, that is what we challenged. The circuit court judge did not side with us on that matter. And we took the matter to the Virginia Supreme Court. And the Virginia Supreme Court reviewed the case. I made the arguments before the case in early August, and they decided to take this case. Very important case, and this case, I think, is going to be one that's critically important. I think it sets back on the heels not only Fairfax County, but any other governmental entity or school board in Virginia that wants to do this unlawful act by adding sexual orientation or gender identity or gender expression, whatever you might have, to the non-discrimination categories. That has to be done on a uniform statewide basis.
Well, and just jumping off on the point you just made, the school board in Prince William County, Virginia, which is the second largest district in the Commonwealth, is in the process of moving towards the adoption of a policy similar to Fairfax County. So how many other school districts, other entities around the state are basically going to be seeing their policies given thumbs up or thumbs down as a result of your case?
Well, there's several, and Prince William County is the next one in line. It's the school there and the county system there that wants to consider adding this to their policy like Fairfax, and that's coming up in the next couple of days. And therefore, they've got to make a decision, and we're cautioning them, do not go down this road, because if you do, we will sue you. The fact is that the Virginia Supreme Court thinks there's merit in this case. Otherwise, they would not have taken the case. They did take the case. They've not only heard the arguments in the case, but they've also had oral argument presented. They could clearly decline to take the case, but they decided to take it. So I think it really sends a strong message. Stop what you're doing. We will sue you. And frankly, this will go to the Virginia Supreme Court. Now, I think most people, when they think about these policies, they're thinking of boys using girls' restrooms. Well, that's true. That's what these policies allow. Not only restrooms, but showers and locker rooms. They allow men or boys to go into women's or girls' private facilities. But in addition to that, these away games or these away events, whether it's the band or a sporting team, also means that when these students are spending the night away from school, they also have the same situation, the same policy applies, meaning that a boy cannot be limited to the boys' hotel side of the room, but can now say that that boy wants to be with the girls and therefore spend the night and sleep in the same room in the hotel or whatever overnight facility is there that the girls are in. So it's not just using bathrooms and showers and locker rooms. It's actually bedding down with them in the same room, bunking with them, just like multiple girls would bunk in a hotel room if the band or the cheerleaders would take an overnight trip. That's how problematic this is. In fact, a different school in another state earlier this year said that's, in fact, how their policy is going to be applied. And they also said you can't tell the parents because of the privacy of the students. So mom and dad sends their daughter on an away trip with the band. They spend the night someplace in a hotel and come back the next day. Well, guess what? Under that kind of a policy, the boys could go into the girls' actual bedroom and bunk with those girls in the same bedroom.
And I believe that's Anne Arundel County, Maryland, if I'm not mistaken there.
That's exactly right.
How does this affect curriculum? Is there a direct impact on the curriculum if this is what the school policy is advocating in actual practice, or is that an entirely separate entity?
No, it also affects the curriculum. Like if you have a policy with regards to race, then you certainly would not segregate bathrooms based upon color or showers or locker rooms based upon color. And you wouldn't allow racist kinds of things or things that are not supportive of or complementary to race, for example, in the curriculum. And so now you add sexual behavior, gender identity, the subjective mental expression or confusion, frankly. You have the same thing. You have boys going into the showers and the locker rooms and the bathrooms and every other private facility. And you also have this injected into the curriculum so that it looks normal, so that as young as kindergarten, kids are taught that they don't have male and female, that there is no binary construct of male and female, that it's a continuum, a long spectrum. There's all kinds of different things. You can be male, female. You can be neither. You can be in a male body but actually be a female in your mind. All of these things will be part of the curriculum and the teaching from kindergarten up, and the confusion that this will cause is incalculable.
Let's talk briefly on a couple different topics as it relates to the federal government. First of all, the Obama administration, as you well know, is demanding that all public school districts embrace this updated non-discrimination agenda. A number of states are fighting back, and that'll work its way through the courts as well. So will that be the ultimate legal word on this whenever that's resolved?
Well, if the United States Supreme Court decision comes down the wrong way, it would be certainly a significant ruling that would be negative in its impact against all these different facilities, including public schools. Right now, you've got the Obama administration directive through this letter by the DOJ and the Department of Education. They acknowledge that they have no legal authority, but then they, in the same letter, threaten prosecution and loss of federal funds, which they have no authority to do either. The good news is that a federal judge has stopped the implementation of that, so that is banned. That's stopped across the country by this federal judge out of Texas. A number of states have joined in that lawsuit. But at some point in time, that's going to percolate its way through the court system, up through the Court of Appeals, and eventually to the United States Supreme Court. I have no confidence whatsoever, none, in the Supreme Court of the United States making the right decision. They have long ago abandoned the rule of law, and they're controlled oftentimes by a majority of five that are just simply political ideologues, and they're not real jurists that adhere to the text and intent of the Constitution. So I don't know what the Supreme Court would do on this, but I don't have a lot of confidence that they will do the right thing, because I don't have a lot of confidence that they do the right thing on a lot of cases. Whenever they have a majority, they do what they want to. They did that throughout their history. They just get a majority, and no matter how much it lacks constitutional authority, they impose it on the rest of the people. In this particular issue, even though it's pretty clear that neither the statutes nor the Constitution require this absurd gender identity, gender expression, inclusion, you never know what the five justices on the Supreme Court will do.
Well, and certainly since the passing of Justice Scalia, we've seen Justice Kennedy siding more than usual with the four liberals on the court. So we'll see who wins the presidential election and who gets to be that next ninth justice. Very quickly, Matt, you mentioned in passing that the Obama administration is threatening the withholding of federal funds for public schools who resist this. That was one of the big arguments made by the Fairfax School Board. Essentially, hey, our hands are tied. We're going to lose all this money if we don't do this. We have to respond to the Fed's marching orders. Explain why that's not true.
Well, it's not true even before that lawless directive came out, because you have to have certain specific criteria to withhold federal funds under so-called Title IX. And this is not one of them. Title IX and other federal employment laws back in the 70s and the 60s, when it said not to discriminate on the basis of sex, it's pretty clear. It's binary, male, female. It has nothing to do with the construct in your mind of whatever you want to think. And in fact, Congress has rejected multiple attempts to amend the employment provision by adding sexual orientation or gender identity into it. They've rejected that. So Congress is pretty clear. Not only is the original intent of the law clear, but Congress is clear they don't want to mess with it. So when the Obama administration says that you'll lose your or have potential to lose your federal funds, it's just a smokescreen. It's the Wizard of Oz kind of classic scare tactic. It has no effect and no authority in the federal law whatsoever. And now that it is enjoined or put on hold by a federal court in Texas, again, that is though it doesn't exist. It doesn't have any legal effect at all. So that argument, or that excuse, if you will, by some school boards, is taken off the table.
Matt, we'll be following. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver, founder and chairman at Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.